This morning, our old buddy, John the Baptist, returns to us for the second time during Advent. This time, John is not... he comes to us from a prison cell this time. We're going to read the scripture when John was in prison. John does not have any longer. Somebody's going to trip on the way up the steps. You know, John doesn't have any of that bluster that he had before. He does not have any of that bravado when he's preaching out in the wilderness and inviting people to be baptized. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, John is no longer assertive and confident. Instead, he's confused and he is discouraged and maybe he's even depressed. No longer free to wander the wilderness, John is caged. John is in prison. He's in this prison cell when he offers this inquiry of Jesus. Let's begin this reading with Matthew 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus answered these men who'd come to inquire, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. He said, "What did you go into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind?" Excuse me. "What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messengers ahead of you who will prepare the way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom in heaven is greater than he." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
None of us like to wait. And I'm imagining John in a prison cell has a much different perspective than I do on waiting. I've never been in prison, but I've visited, and I know what it felt like to me when the door closed behind me. But I've never been waiting in prison. I'm thinking as John is waiting that he's wondering if he had backed the wrong guy. Was Jesus really the Messiah? Was Jesus the one? And in context with that, I'm also, because I have an 11-year-old son, I'm constantly waiting for Christmas at my house. Waiting and waiting. And I'm thinking about these two kinds of waiting in contrast with each other. The Christmas tree's been up at my house since right after Thanksgiving. I imagine possibly at your house as well. And the presents are starting to pile up under there. And this waiting is really hard for young kids. And I must confess, as a young kid, at a house that we lived in. We had the Christmas tree kind of in the corner, but there was actually a lot of room to get back behind it in this house where I was growing up. And one year, you know, I went back there, didn't think anybody was watching me, and there was a present there for me, and I just, you know, loosened the tape on the side of it. You know how you can do that? You stick your finger under there and loosen the tape. And I peered in there, and that was the exact moment when I got caught. And if anybody's thinking about doing that, I'll tell you what my punishment was. I had to tape it back up. And then I was actually not allowed to open it and play with it until the day after Christmas. And if you ever see my mother and ask her a question about it, she tells a different story, but that's the way I remember it. That's exactly the way I remember it. And in thinking about waiting too, since we do that all the time at Christmas time, I was thinking about the experts on waiting. They work at the happiest place on earth, Disney World. And they are trying to make waiting in the line for 45 minutes or whatever fun. And they, you know, the characters come out to hit you up, talk to you, you're watching something on a TV screen, there's some interactive things going on as you're standing there and waiting in the line. And they're really good at hospitality. And it does work. I mean, it makes, for me, the wait feel shorter. But there's none of that I'm imagining in prison. There's nothing John sitting in the cell. There's no one offering him hospitality. He's staring at the wall, and he's waiting for a word from Jesus. Because he needs a validation, an affirmation that Jesus is the Messiah. That all that work that he did preaching out in the wilderness mattered. That his baptism of people for the forgiveness of sins was right on. John needs that word. He's a rough preacher, and he's got no one to preach to. He's not in the wilderness anymore. He's locked up. He just needs to know that Jesus is the one. And so, Jesus sends his messengers back with a word to visit John in prison. And these words are actually from Isaiah. They're from Isaiah chapter 35. He is quoting Isaiah in answer to John's asking, if you are the one we've been waiting for. Christ, in that answer, gave John hope. John hadn't missed it. John was right. And it seemed like to me in the text, after Jesus gave the word to the messengers and the messengers went to tell John, when he turned back to the crowd to talk to them, that he was a little bit angry. And he said to them, he gives this hope to John's messengers, and when he's talking to them, he again turns their expectations sideways. These people are there, and they've been waiting for a king. And Jesus says to them that the comfortable life of royalty wasn't really his plan. Jesus was the king that they had been hoping for. John was the prophet that they had been told would come. But they don't act like royalty. And this, I think, is the beginning of this message which comes later in Matthew. In this text, we get the spirit that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. What does leadership look like? When you think of a king and what a king is supposed to be, what kind of images come to mind? Neither John nor Jesus fit that mold. Yet again, God gives us the unexpected to challenge us. Jesus, he goes even further in his ministry in standing in solidarity with the poor. That's just what the prophets of old had done. They had talked about, blessed are the poor. All the teachers in the Hebrew Bible had stood with the poor in solidarity. And so that gives us our question. If we are called to be a hope-filled people with this hope that Jesus Christ gives to us, how are we going to share it? In what way can we share that hope with the world? Earlier this week, for the 30th time, my son asked me, "Are you excited for Christmas?" And I did not answer him the way that I'm going to answer the question today, but this is what I wish that I had said if I'd have had time to think. Yeah, on the 30th time, I didn't even answer him. When I was a little boy, I was very excited about Christmas. Every year, I was extremely excited. And I always had my Christmas list that I had made. And sometimes I even got one or two of the items that was on the list. But none of those gifts, those desired things that I wanted, are in my life anymore. None of them are. What remains is the joy of Christmas. What remains is the hope of Christmas. The hope of my faith that I found in Jesus Christ. Many of you are grown up like me, and maybe you actually have the house that you always dreamed of. And maybe you found the partner to spend your life with that you always dreamed about, and the career that you always wanted that is fulfilling. And perhaps you've even got the car that you always wanted to get. And maybe you even went on some of the trips that you always wanted to take. But at some point in our life, we ask, is that all there is? Is there nothing else left for me to hope for? You know, when is it enough when you've got everything that you need? Is it enough? And when I think about these things, I'm reminded of the third verse. Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Advent calls us to make room in our hearts and in our hectic pursuits, and under the Christmas tree, make room for the coming of Christ the Savior. Advent calls us to make it possible for Him to come, and that means we have to smooth out some of the rough places in our lives that can prevent Him from coming. Advent challenges us to make a place in our lives not to be served, but to serve others. Advent teaches us to live with patient expectation. God begins with a tiny child born in humble surroundings, and then God uses that child to bring hope to the world. You and I are called to continue to spread that hope. You and I are called to be watchful and find places in our daily lives where we can share that hope. You and I are called to make the Lord come and be real one relationship at a time. So on Christmas morning, let's cling to that hope. Let's celebrate that hope and share that hope. Amen? Amen. We come to our invitation hymn now. What Child Is This? Hymn number 162. I invite you to rededicate yourselves to filling the world with the hope that we celebrate during Advent. Stand with us now as we sing, What Child Is This?
Good morning.